Are you ready? Can't crush us. It don't really get no better than this, the podcast that you're looking for. If you're really heavy into wrestling, hosted by the Mark. Energy that's so amazing, gotta keep it entertaining. Rep the Can't Crusher Nation. Yeah, you know what's going down in the ring. Lights out when you hit a ding ding. Knock them out like boom bada bing. Hold it down, you can crown me the king. Gotta shout out to the Miz and Duke the Dumpster. We choke slamming everybody, power driving, hit them with a face buster. Yeah, yeah, this the show you need. And it ain't no need for waiting. Mark, hold it down for the Can Crusher Nation. All about wrestling and keep it entertaining. Can Crushers Wrestling Podcast. Time to break them. Let's go. Yeah. Can Crushers. Yeah. Can Crushers. Let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome back to another Can Crushers Wrestling Podcast, the Spotlight Edition. I'm your host, Mark the Mark Martinez, and I have a youngster in the business, an up-and-comer, a future champion, probably everywhere. I'm going to throw that out there, probably everywhere. The technician, Devion Black, is coming on today, and I'm excited to hear his story. I don't know much about him. I've done some of my research a little bit, but I'm overdoing research. I want to hear it from the horse's mouth, I guess you say. I want to know what's going on with Devion. And our paths may cross when I head out to Oklahoma. Let's just leave it at that. I don't know if this could be good or bad, so we'll have to find out in the interview. Guys, but you know I have to do something first. Tell you about Collar and Elbow. Hats, hoodies, tees, all that cool stuff that the hooligans and Al Snow make down there at Collar and Elbow. Buy it. And then use the promo code CANCRUSHERS. All one word, capital C in CAN, capital C in CRUSHERS. You'll save 10%. Don't forget to check out our stuff on Woodamaneuver. Yeah, say that two times fast, Mark. Woodamaneuver. You can buy some of our merch as well, so make sure you check it out there. And you know that we're linked to all the socials, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Christian Mingle, Farmers, oh no, I'm kidding. Check us out on all the socials. Get interactive with there. You have a question for us, because Ask Can Crushers is coming up real quick. Send us a question, cancrusher69@gmail.com. We'll answer it on air. Really excited for that episode that's coming up with me and Jinx, my co-host. But so much is going on here on Can Crushers. But we're here today for the technician, Devion Black. Here comes Al to tell you more about Collar and Elbow, and then we come back, Devion, to tell his story.
Wrestling. A love and a passion we all share. I've started a wrestling brand. The wrestling brand. A brand founded on the aspects of wrestling. Two entities working together to create a product that connect emotionally for people everywhere. Collar and Elbow is the brand. Passion and love for wrestling is the drive. I am Al Snow, and this is Collar and Elbow, the wrestling brand.
Welcome back to Can Crushers. Guys, you heard in the intro how excited I was to talk to the technician, Devion Black. Devion, welcome to Can Crush. How's the hell are you doing today? What's up? All that good stuff.
Hey, yo, I'm in the building, man. What's going on?
I don't know. I just saw a clip, by the way, of last Saturday. Man, did you get screwed over in your UWO title match against Derek James. What a piece of trash.
Listen, man. People hate it, man. I came in, I already, just coming into the building, I knew there was going to be some animosity. You know, I'm a young baby face jumping in there with a champ off rip. But I mean, he took me to the limit, though. So I'm going to have to see him again.
Yeah, real quick, without outside interference, without nut shots, without all that went on. Because that was your match. He was 3 seconds away from losing that title.
Listen, all it takes is one nice dream and it's over with.
Yeah, for sure. You're part of a tag team as well, and we'll get into that, but you're part of a tag team?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We debut this Sunday, actually, in Waco. WAW this Sunday. We're gonna show up and show up. I'm going to put it like that. You got to watch it.
So you're essentially putting every tag team on notice as well.
I'm not putting every tag team. I'm putting every single wrestler on notice. This isn't about just tag teams. I'm taking over the world. I don't plan on stopping anytime soon.
Nice. That's the attitude I like to hear. You're a youngster. You're legitimately 23. I mean, we'll pull the curtain down every once in a while. You're 23 years old. And I like the attitude that you are just ready to crush the world and just be, what's your Facebook say, future champion, future Hall of Famer, something like that. I can't recall it right now, but you're ready to go.
The future professional wrestling. Okay, I mean, I'm not really one for accolades. It's not about time. I just love wrestling. I've been doing it since I was a child. If you go back, you'll see I've been at this legit since I was a child. Maybe not in a ring, but on a mat. And ever since then, it's just been about wrestling for me. I don't care who you think you are. I could care less what you have to offer. I just want to get in the ring and prove that I'm better than you.
That's a great transition. It's almost like you listen to podcasts every once in a while, especially Can Crushers.
I definitely have. I've definitely checked out a few things. I definitely heard what Malik had to say about me.
Malik, yeah. I love Malik, but we'll get there on Malik. What was your first memory of wrestling, and who kind of introduced you? Who said, hey, little technician, you have to watch this because you're going to exceed at this in life?
It's really crazy because I put it to God. God really is the one that showed me. I was out on my little grandpa's farm out in Petty, Texas. It's right down the road from Paris. Shout out Paris. I was just cleaning up the living room, and then I saw this little VCR. For y'all young ones, real young ones that don't know, that's a tape. They go in a big box, and they used to hook up to a TV. But I put it in, and it happened to be like the Beach Bash of WCW back in the 90s. I don't know. I'm a young buck. I don't know the exact day or whatever, but I'm a young buck. But, yeah, and ever since then, you know, I just watched it over and over and over, and just I fell in love at the age of 5 years old. And ever since then, I've been straight at it.
Was that the only tape you had with Beach Bash?
Yeah. We were, like, I grew up incredibly poor. I mean, I come from a black and white family. I grew up some country, some you can call hood, ghetto, whatever you want to call it. I didn't have the funds and stuff like that to see that stuff as a child. All I knew to do is go out and try it. So I've never had fear of, you know, embarrassing myself. So I just went out and tried. I'd be in my yard, my little brother. We just went out and tried it. On from there.
Yeah. Is there one match that from that, and I'm not trying to get the year because God, I forget more than I remember. You can ask my wife.
Same.
Yeah, but you're young. I at least have 22 years on you, for the love of God.
It's some concussions, man. I'm telling you.
It is. I agree. I have like 5 documented that, yeah, I'm almost as bad as, you know, the name Troy Aikman. Yeah. I'm almost as bad as Troy Aikman once in a while. So
I'm not going to say how many I have on here. We will keep that.
Yeah. That could be detrimental to your future. So do not.
I'm 100%. Listen, any promoter listening, I'm 100% fine. Don't do that. I'm 100% ready to go. Contact me now.
Yeah. And we'll give all that deets later. Do you remember one match that actually stands out to you from that Beach Bash?
I don't remember a match. I remember seeing like a really young Rey Mysterio, and just I've always been short, but I've always had like a lot of people with a size problem, like they're short or underweight or something of that nature. They always see it as a disadvantage, but it's always been a chip on my shoulder. I'm like, I'm approved. It don't matter how big you are. And it's just that same mentality Ray used to have. And that's just somebody that I started. Like, I watched his match. I'm not 100% sure who it was. Yeah, I swear I can't remember. But I watched his match about 40 times a week.
Wow. That's the only thing when you're doing it at the age of 5. Watching Ray and then going out in the backyard and doing everything he did in that match, right?
Hey, we had the little trampoline, the little pool. We used to go at it.
Once you got older, high school, were you involved in other sports as well?
Yeah, I was a football player. I was a cross country runner for a little bit. The cross country was basically because my wrestling coach, shout out Coach Taylor, I was going to go into the offseason because I'm not a baseball player, nothing like that. And he was like, nah, you can go get some cardio in. So I ended up doing cross country a little bit. But besides wrestling, football was it for me. I mean, but I was the smallest wrestler on the team. So. But I had to have a little dog in me all the time.
But everything led back to wrestling, essentially, right?
Everything. I mean, from tackling, I just wanted to wrestle. Like, even after football practice, they'd stay out there and throw the ball. I'm going inside to the wrestling mat and practicing with the dummy. During the summer, I never had summer as a high school student. I want that to be known. The first day of my freshman year, first summer, which is straight out of middle school where I'm from, the high school coach was at my door picking me up. And it was that way for the rest of my high school career.
Do you thank him for that? Or is it like, oh, man, because that's a grind.
I definitely thank him for the work ethic. But, boy, I wish I could have went to this, you know, lake here once in a while. I mean, I do that now, so I guess it's all right.
But, yeah, it's all worth it.
I was a mature kid, so I knew the goal at hand, and now I'm here. I'm ready to go.
So besides Ray, what other wrestlers stood out to you watching? When did you get to, essentially then, when did you get to start watching wrestling full-time?
Yeah, so like when I was about 9, 10, I really got into it, got heavily into it. I got to watch it on television. You know, we got cable and stuff of that nature. And, you know, and there was a few indie shows I was able to go through. Like, I dragged my little uncle to. I always call him little uncle because he used to make fun of me for being little. But, yeah, I dragged him to some shows. And, you know, they just blew my mind out, you know. Seeing the big versus little, the good versus evil, you know, I just knew I had to be a part of it.
So that's a shock, actually, because wrestlers that I talk to, they don't know a lot about the indies right off the bat. It actually comes after they find, like, a training school or something like that. But you were going to indies so much younger. And do you think that opened your eyes? Again, make reference that you're 23, and there's some people that only get into wrestling when they're 23, if not older. Do you think that opened your eyes as to, I can do this? Because you don't have the bigger, larger-than-life, like Hogan and Cena and Roman and people like that, that people are like, I can't do this.
Well, everybody always calls me little Roman Reigns. I think that. Jesus. Mostly, I would say mostly I just always knew there was a goal at hand, and I'm not there yet, but I'm still working towards it. But I've always had that mentality since I don't know how long, that I'm going to be the best at this, and there's no question about it. I've never doubted it. You know, I come from a family that, you know, just didn't really care that much. You know, local little farmers and, you know, criminals. That's the family and background I have. So I always knew there was a different way, and I was going to do that way for my future.
Okay, wow, that's crazy. It really is. So you got a high school, you make the decision. How do you go about finding your wrestling school, and how much backyard plays in the fact of that? Because I have a feeling that you were part of maybe a backyard organization a little bit too.
No, I was never part of a backyard.
No, okay.
No. So basically, I was living in Durant, Oklahoma, and I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing. We'll say that out of high school, it was some issues. I have a tattoo on my chest that kind of explains the issues, but. You know, I take responsibility. I wasn't doing what I was supposed to. But one day, you know, my father came to me and he's just like, you know what you're supposed to be doing. And I just sat down for a while. And I was like, you're right. One day I just packed up like $300 in my pocket, me and my best friend. who's now my manager. Shout out my boy Sosa. We just left. We just left with nothing. We fish for food sometimes, and you know, eventually I just made my way. I was working at like a Dollar General, and this an older lady named Tim, and she said she knew about an independent wrestling company, and they were talking about it and whatnot. And so yeah, I just showed up. Wow. And it was like, listen, I need to train. Whatever we got to do, let's do it. And I ended up being the referee that night. I just knew the rules of wrestling so well and stuff of that nature that, like, and I was all like, I took a bump the first day. I was head first, like, let's get into it. They charged me a little fee or whatever. But the fee, I never ended up paying. I ended up just refereeing for them free for a few shows.
So you kind of paid it off just, that way.
Yeah. I mean, I had nothing. I had a car. That was it. And I just took off with it, man. I refused to lose. I refused to, like, anybody tell me no. I just kept on going.
Wow. I see, this is why I don't do background or anything anymore, because that just blows my mind. Essentially homeless, and you just walk into a training facility and say, I'm ready to do this.
It wasn't even a training facility. I walked into it. They were having a show.
Oh, you walked into a show? Oh, shit. And
I went up to some guys, and they were training before the show. I got there early, real early. They were training before the show, so I got some training in, and then they had an issue with a referee. He had a car breakdown or something on him, and I was like, I could ref. And I had a little ref tryout, and I ref the whole show.
Wow, that's unbelievable. That just blows my mind. That's acceptance, though. That they know that you're not there to screw them over, and you didn't have to. What did you have to prove to the promoter that night that you were there to do the right thing? Because I can't walk into a IWC, which is here in Pittsburgh, and say, hey, I'm going to ref every match tonight. They're like, yeah, Mark, you're one of our biggest, stupidest fans. And I mean that out of love. You're not getting in there to screw over the talent. How did the promoter, and it's no knock on you, how did he put that much trust in you? What did you tell him?
I really didn't tell him anything. I really just got in the ring.
You showed him.
I mean, like I said, I've been doing stuff on trampolines and stuff like that. Actually, like, with my manager now. Before this, like, we were practicing. I was practicing. I was learning. I was doing the YouTube searching on the reading the books, Wrestling 101, Wrestling for Beginners. I mean, I'm learning way before this. I mean, I just got in the ring. I knew how to take the bumps. I knew how to run the ropes. I knew how to do the basic little stuff without, actually touching anybody. And I was very athletic at the time. I mean, I still am.
Clearly. Watch your matches on YouTube. Yeah, clearly.
Yeah, but it was just those little things, and then the incident happened, the ref wasn't there. They needed somebody, and I was just like, hey, I wasn't gonna just be like, go sit down and watch the show. If I could be a part of it, I was gonna be a part of it. And I just threw my hat in there, and just, last minute they had to take me. So.
That's crazy.
But I did an excellent job as a ref, and after that, they asked me, that's how you want to pay off us training you? I got a little bit of training there.
That's unbelievable, folks. And this is why I love doing these spotlights right there. Essentially, a self-trained before your first show. Yeah, even as a referee, self-trained for before your first show, you walk in the door and say, hey, I'm here to work, da-da-da-da. They take you on. That's congratulations. I didn't know any of this. Congratulations. That does show the hard work and everything that you put into this. Where do you officially call, like, your home territory then? Since you are maybe not linked with a training school as much.
I really don't have. I'm somewhere new almost every week, man. I'm really enjoying the places that I'm going to. The favorite place I've ever worked is Metroplex so far. But man, I've started training actually at NCWO during the week. So, I mean, we'll see where that goes. I've been training with them, so I had the show, I had a training session. You know, I'm gonna have another training session with them this week. So, I mean, I really enjoy that environment.
The training aspect of it?
I mean, it's fun. We get to pick on everybody. You know, we get to beat each other up. I'm a bully. Like, people call me a bully, man. I don't mean to be like a bully. If I pick on you, it means I like you. This is how I grew up, you know.
Right. I was always taught, and it's like this at where I work, too. You know, if we leave you alone, we might have an issue with you. But if we're greasing your handles on your trucks or, you know, picking on you or something, you're accepted. You're in. You're one of the boys. Is that essentially what you're saying is going on in the training sessions?
Yeah, but don't fire back because anybody can get it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, anybody can be in the barrel at one time, right?
Yeah, man. If I pick on you, man, it's because I like you, man. Like, I'm real hard on Malik, man. But at the end of the day, I see the talent. I see him. I'm not going to, you know, speak more into it, but I see him.
Yeah.
He's caught my eye. There's a reason for that. I wouldn't just waste my time on him.
Oh, okay. So first match, after you ref a lot, when do you get your first match then?
Oh, Jesus Christ. The same thing happened, actually. The same thing happened. A referee did show up. It was for the same company. I was going to be the referee. I still was. But a wrestler didn't show up. And so the day before, I trained in a parking lot in Hope, Arkansas. Something like that. I think it's Hope. Maybe. Don't quote me on that. In Arkansas. And I trained for 5 hours in the sun with a guy named Gary Jackson. And the next day, I had my first match against the Night Stalker.
I know the answer to this already, but I have to ask it just to clear it from my mind. Did you have nerves, or were you just overly pumped to finally get this first one, you know, in your belt and notched out of the way?
Well, first of all, I didn't have any gear, so I felt like an idiot.
Okay.
It was a pretty decent match. I got my butt kicked, you know, I got my little initiation in. But other than that, man, I mean, I've been wrestling half naked in front of people my entire life, including high school classmates, which are the most ruthless human beings on planet Earth. So, I mean, nerves it just comes with it. You get a little tingle in your stomach, you get the little twitches in your hand, you just go out there and you let it all out.
Yeah, I hear that a lot. You should get them every match, but as soon as you come through that curtain or whatever, boom, now it turns into adrenaline, right?
I've always heard, like, in interviews saying, I'm like a Tony Khan kind of person. I like to know everything about wrestling. I'm constantly watching stuff. Like, right now, I'm on, like, a marathon. I'm starting at 2000, January 1st, 2000, and just watching, like, all of everything I can, just following the storyline and stuff like that. So I've always been a student of it.
That's cool. I love going back and watching the old stuff. So you're at the year 2000 right now. Have you gone back farther to, you know, 80s or anything like that?
I watched a lot of Von Erichs, but I'm a Texas kid. Everybody knows who Von Erichs is.
Right.
That's a lot of them. And, you know, my grandmother was actually a wrestling fan, so that's the only way I could connect with her and talk about the subject that I want to talk about. So yeah, I watched a little of the Von Erichs. You know, I didn't really go. I mean, Shawn Michaels is my favorite wrestler of all time, so I mean, I had to go to the 90s. But the 80s, I didn't really go that far back. People hate me for that too. They really hate that.
There's a lot of good stuff in the 80s.
I love watching NWA. It's taught me a lot. I love watching my former coach's father, Dusty Rhodes. I love watching him. There's just certain people that I like to pick from. You know, if it adds to my game, I just want to study and get better. Right now, I'm working on perfecting my craft, so I'm not like trying to copy as many people. So it's a little harder to watch now.
Right. And again, you're reading my notes and you know exactly where I'm going now. This is who I want to know where, you brought about who Devyon Black is, and I hate the generic answer, it's me times 100 or me times 12 or whatever. Listen, it's professional wrestling. We all know somebody takes a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this, mashes it together. So here's my mashup of who I see you are. And I kind of keep it relevant for today's day and age, because sometimes we have a lot of younger kids, we have a lot of older people, but to me, these are the three people I see in you. Instantly, and tell me how bad I am. Instantly, I see Ricochet in you. Without a doubt, I see Ricochet. The other one is Sammy Guevara, but when you cut a promo and you talk and everything, you're Rick Rude to me. Just a couple of the promos that came across, I'm like, he's a dirty bastard. Deep down inside, he is a dirty bastard. So that's where the Rick Rude came from. So those are my three. How far off am I?
You're pretty close.
Yeah, I told you I got better.
You're actually. With the Ricochet, I try to feel a lot of his moves. I'm trying to work on my gymnastics. I'm afraid of heights. If there's one thing with breaking news,
you're such a liar. You're afraid of heights.
You think I would be lying right now, but nah. Every time I get on the top rope, every time I do some type of flip, I mean, I get a little jumpy. I definitely get nervous about it, but I'm a professional, so, you know, I just go out there and do it. But, like, the first time I did a suicide dive, I was terrified. But it's mostly about you gotta have trust in yourself. So, and then, so you said Sammy Guevara?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I love Sammy. Sammy's so great, man. That's, like, one of my dream opponents. But, nah, I don't think I really take his moves as much, but maybe his attitude in the ring. I can see where we compare.
Yeah.
And the Rick Rude, yeah, I'm basically an asshole. I'm sorry.
That's good. I told you.
Yeah. That's really my personality. Like, I've always come from, like, I don't know. As a kid, I was real defensive. Like, if you came at me, I'm going to come at you, like, 10 times harder. But now I just kind of use it because I know who I am and I don't have to really prove anything to anybody. Nah, man, I just don't come at me. You come at me, it's your head, come on.
It's always good to be the asshole of your friendship group. My friends call me that. Because I will do the same thing. So, I'm alright with it. I support assholes across America. So, if you're going to be in my group, let's do this together, Devyon.
Listen, I believe just do whatever makes you happy. And I'm doing whatever makes me happy. And that's whatever comes across my mind that makes me happy.
That's right. Let's take a break from wrestling here for a little bit and find out more about you, because I know in your off time, you're a huge gamer. You're a huge 2K WWE. I mean, you legitimately turned it off 2 seconds before we started this podcast.
Hey, how you know about all that, man?
I just know. I know. You're a fan. What do you like so much about this year's 2K? Because I think it's a great game. There's still some, you know, glitches and everything, but I can work around them compared to what they had the last couple of years.
The creation is just, I've stolen so many, like Ushiguroshi, I didn't even know what that was until I played WWE 2K22, which is embarrassing because I love AJ Styles. It's just, I never knew the name of the movie he was doing. But yeah, there's just a lot, like, the moves and the way you can create yourself. And I'm waiting for somebody to create a Devyon. I'm not going to do it myself, but I'm waiting for it. The creation stuff for me, that's what it is for me. I'm real creative. And there's so much stuff you can do on it. It's just, and they actually have the gear that I actually wear, which is insane. Like, the exact copy of my gear is on the game. So.
Yeah. Now you just need one of these. Dress like me. Now you just need one of these cats that just sit and create stuff for a living to actually make a good rendition of you, huh?
It's probably going to be the hair. It's probably going to be the hardest part. I don't see too many people with my kind of hair.
Yeah. Besides the creation, did you like the Ray mode, the showcase mode? Have you done like a My Rise or anything yet? Because I love the My Rise. I actually started with a female this year. And I have not even played with the male version yet, and that's since it's been out.
I'm so competitive. I'm on that my GM stuff right now. Like, you have to actually, like, build storylines and stuff like that. It's just, it's so complicated, which is really good. Like, Legend mode throughout the whole game is just solid, which is, I just love it.
Yeah. It's been one of the best. I agree. Besides video games, what else do you like to do time off? I mean, you're besides training and all that, we know you're still going to training, this, that, and the other, but taking a dog for a walk, hanging out, you know, what else does Devion do when you have downtime?
I haven't really had a downtime in a long time.
Nothing.
I've been working my butt off, but, you know, I like to, you know, I just spend time with my wife. That's about it, man. I don't really like to do anything else. Spend time with my family, my dogs. I'm not really like a go out kind of person. It's not my style.
Yeah, just homebody with your wife. I respect that. I love that. That's what we do too. Wife very supportive of you, of being in wrestling?
Oh, very supportive. That's who's behind the camera. Every time you see me on YouTube, that's who's behind the camera. That is the most supportive woman I've ever met in my life. She's very helpful at all times.
Does she help with any, like, do you buy your gear, or do you kind of create it yourself and then send it off and buy it, or do you completely do it yourself?
I actually have somebody making some gear for me right now, so I got some new gear coming out soon. But I've actually just bought the last two. That's the singlet and the tights that I have just been purchased.
Okay.
You're looking fancy.
Yeah, no complaints. Not an L. All right. I have two would you rather questions for you.
Oh boy, here we go.
Yeah. Would you rather be in the NWO or the Bloodline? And I want explanations. None of this generic easy way out.
NWO or the Bloodline? Honestly, the Bloodline, just because outside the ring, I feel like I would be more fit. Like, if I'm going to be a part of something, I'm not just going to be some, I'm here to work and go on. I'm really going to try to make it special. So I feel like the Bloodline and I could do a lot more in ring and out the ring than me and the NWO could.
Yeah, the NWO at the tail end of it. I mean, the original NWO, there was way too many people, and there was just a clusterfuck of people. Just, they were part of the NWO, but they never did anything. So I'm glad you went Bloodline.
I love the original, like,
Four?
Hogan,
yeah.
Nash. I love that little group, you know, Razor. Those are the greats. So I even have like Razor's little quote tatted on my arm. It's under my tribal, so a lot of people really don't know it.
Do you really? Mad respect for that. I love that.
Razor's my man. I take a lot of my ass. See, that's where I would replace your little Rick Reed. I would replace Razor. That's what I would replace.
Okay. Yeah, and I could see Razor. I could see Razor just as much as Rude now. Yeah. So, nice.
I just don't have the accent. I don't have the accent.
No, clearly.
No, I'm a Texas kid.
Would you rather have a beer with Stone Cold or Hangman Adam, a whiskey with Hangman Adam Page?
I really want to wrestle Hangman Adam Page. I don't want to be friends with him. Stone Cold. Hangman's competition for me.
No,
like, I'm not there yet, and in no way I'm saying I'm better than him. I know I'm not at that level yet, but that's the goal for me, is that level. So, nah, I can't. Nah, we can't be friends, Hangman. I'm sorry.
Right? Yeah. Last stupid question before we kind of dive back into other things. If you're stranded on an island, what are the three most important things that you need to have with you? And clearly, you can't say your family. I understand you want your family there, but we're going to... No, it's just you on an island. What do you need on an island? Three things.
What do I need on an island? Let me see. First of all, some form of food. I can find fish food. I love fishing. I love food. I love seafood. Hey, I really don't. Hold on, give me a sec.
I told you we get stupid once in a while.
Oh yeah, but it makes you think though, so it's good. I would definitely need my protein shakes. I don't think I can live without them. That's a stupid one, but yeah, protein shakes, definitely some form of book or like just something I could watch that I could like do research on. Like I don't watch like normal stuff. I watch like documentaries all the time. So something to study, stuff like that. And probably some coconut oil so my hair doesn't fall out.
Good call. Good call.
I don't play about my hair.
Definitely didn't think coconut oil for your hair was gonna be one of them. All
right. Right, you coconut oil. Man. I need something for the hair. I can't wash it.
Right. That's part of you. You need that.
Exactly. If I get rescued, I'm not gonna look like
you. Yeah, I don't want to look like a hooligan or anything. I gotta look good.
Not good. I'm not top hands.
This is my moment. This is my moment of being. how much wrestling do you get to watch of now? Like AEW, WWE, Impact, New Japan, anything like that? How much do you get to watch and how much do you want to watch? I'll put it that way, both ways.
I get to watch. I usually watch while I'm driving. Not like I'm driving, but I'm in the car. I usually watch the old, like I watch the recaps and stuff of that nature. But like I don't necessarily just get to sit down and watch them at a constant now because you know again that's a goal for me and you know I'm still young, I'm jealous. I ain't gonna cap, like it just pushes me real hard. And you know, the old lady really don't like it when I try to go to the gym 3 times a day because I just watched an hour long of Roman Reigns.
Right. Right.
So, you know, I
respect
it's
that.
It's just competition for me.
I love how you keep bringing that up. I respect that though, because they're still on your radar, but you just don't want to engulf yourself. It's all about you first, and then you know you'll get there. And I like that. I've heard people say I watch all 36 hours of wrestling a week. Well, holy shit! Then you should just be on the podcast with me because you're not doing you.
No, I don't understand all that. Like, of course I watch it and I do my study. I got my little notebook, and I actually do sit down maybe an hour, but I'm actually doing something like I'm stretching or maybe on the game, something of that nature. But maybe an hour or two every once in a while. But other than that, man, I'll see y'all soon. I'll find out everybody about sometime.
Nope. What was the best advice you were given by a professional wrestler?
Slow down. Slow down. There's a lot of times where I'm real hard on myself, so like there's a lot of times where I personally get real down about where I'm at, and I'm actually in a really good spot for who I am. Like I just see other people and I'm like, man, I gotta get there. So but I gotta realize to enjoy the journey because I can't get any of these moments back. So I'm working on that. I'm doing a lot better with it. I'm just trying to enjoy every moment now.
Who is the wrestler today that pushes you the most? Not that you know him or anything, maybe just on TV. Is it Sammy? Is it MJF? Is it Ricochet? You know, somebody that I mentioned. Is somebody like that pushing you? Because, again, that's who you want to take on. I know you brought up Hangman, that you'd love to fight him, but is there somebody above Hangman?
The number one guy is going to surprise you. He's never been on AEW. He's not known. He's a Texas indie guy. He wins the Zillion's Prime. I actually know him. I've actually wrestled in a tag match against him, but he's like a bar. He's like a bar for me that I'm trying to get. That's like my current right now goal at the end of the year, to be as good as him. And it surprises a lot of people, but I'm looking at what's in front of me, and right now Exodia's problem is what's in front of me. That's the task at hand.
I like that because it's all about steps, right? How long has he been in the business?
Absolutely. He's been in the business a good minute. Definitely, I'm guessing 5+, maybe.
Okay, so a bit.
I should probably ask.
Well, yeah, you should. But
he just wrestled Tommy Dreamer maybe a week or two ago at NPX. So yeah, he's the man right now.
I like that though, because you're humble enough. You have your overall goal of taking over the world, but you know that that's not nobody takes giant steps. It's impossible. That it's a step here to get to be number one in either Oklahoma or Texas, and then number one in central United States, number one in across from the Mississippi, number one in all of United States, North America. That's how I see that you're putting your goals together in the 40 minutes that we've been talking. And I think that's the greatest way to put goals. We talked a little bit before I came on the podcast that, you know, I have so many listeners now, but at the beginning, I just wanted to tackle my town to have people listen and then take over the state and then this and then that. And now, you know, we have thousands of listeners everywhere. That's cool to me. I've slowly done that. And that's the same aspect of you're taking over wrestling. So touche for you. Congratulations. I love your hard work that you're putting in.
I was legit telling my old lady last night that, like when I first started, nobody knew my name. And then I made a debut somewhere at a company that nobody was supposed to know me. And for last night, or I guess when it airs, sorry, you probably should have
that. No, that's all right. Yeah.
So
last Saturday, when we were listening to this podcast.
Yeah, last Saturday when I went to UWO and they just got behind me and I just heard, you know, my name being chanted. I'm doing what I'm supposed to. I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do right now.
Yeah, I agree. Besides your wife just screaming your name over and over on the video. That was pretty cool, too.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, she's the biggest fan I've ever had.
That's got to warm your heart both ways. One, that she's supporting your husband, and then two, supporting your dream. Because there's two different supports there. She could support you as being a weekend wrestler. Cool. You do your thing on weekends, honey. You come home, you take care of the house, you go to work, you do your shit, da-da-da-da-da. Cool, I support you on this little fun thing.
No.
That's not what you hear in her voice. You hear that my wife is. Yeah.
No, my wife is, hey, are you getting up? And if I tell her no, then she's going to talk crap all day. But I didn't go to the gym. I was supposed to. And that's how my wife is. Get on it, or you're being a bum. And she'll tell me quick. She'll get on my butt quick. About stop being a little lazy butt.
So she's also your best hype girl, too. Yeah.
She definitely is my best hype girl. She goes insane.
Good. Next time I'll have her on instead of you. I'm kidding.
She's a bully. She's definitely a bully. She's a big bully.
I hope she's did not. Is she sitting next to you right now?
Yeah, she just walked in.
Okay. I hope she re-listens to this and you get punched in the face for calling her a bully. So that's good.
No, actually, I'm gonna be honest. When I'm not training, I'm really. She knows how to wrestle. Don't get it twisted, guys. She doesn't, but she knows what she's doing and she knows what she's talking about for sure.
What kind of advice would you give a little guy or girl, you know, coming up saying, hey, Devion, I want to be you when I grow up? And I'm saying this kid's like 7, 8 years old. What do you tell them?
I honestly tell them, don't try to be like me. Try to be a better version of you. I don't necessarily can see myself as a role model at this moment.
But you are,
because you know, I'm really focused on me. Like I don't try not to focus on all the little stuff. But like I did have a look at, I do have kids that come up to me and stuff of that nature. You know, I just want to tell them like the path to you got to make your own path. Don't listen to everybody else. Don't listen to what other people tell you. If you want to do something, go do it. There's nothing that's gonna stop you. There's no money, because I did it without money. There's no place, person, there's nothing that's stopping you but you. You just need to go do it.
Yeah. I wish I learned this or started this podcast a lot longer ago, because I didn't listen to myself. I hate to say this. I listened to parents saying, "Nah, why you live here? You're not. There's no sports teams around. There's no this around. There's no that around. What the hell are you gonna do? You can't do anything with communications. Da-da-da-da-da. You know, go be a bomber, a garbage man, or whatever."
Nah, man. I was supposed to be a little drug dealer, junkie kind of dude. That was what, if I was just going around, that's what everybody was calling me and was making me out to be a bad person and all that stuff, and I would still be where I was. I don't listen to nothing that anybody says about me. You can call me an asshole all you want. That ain't gonna change me.
Yeah. I am on that level now. I agree wholeheartedly. Can you look back on your little self that was 5 years old watching Bash at the Beach and say, "I don't believe I'm there"? You know, I know you're not at the WCW level or anything, but you know that's inside of you. Can you look back and say, "I'm well on my way"?
See, that's what goes into me saying that I needed to go to training, because I've always, when I lay my head down at night, I see myself there. I just gotta enjoy the journey, man. I try not to think about that too much.
It is about the journey. I agree. I agree, because there's memories, there's lessons to be learned as well as you make this climb that we talked about like 5 minutes ago. So yeah, Devin, you have a great head on your shoulders. I love everything that you've said, and so, yeah, but. All right.
What I do, man.
You hinted about a dream match back in the day, or future in the day. I want to know the overall dream match. Person could be, you know, dead, alive, whatever. If you could pick one person to have one match with in your life, I want to know that. So who it is, where it's going to be, in the stipulation. That's my caveat on that silly question that you're going to be asked on many podcasts around the world.
Well, it's going to be the same answer until it happens. It's going to be me versus AJ Styles.
Okay. Where and in what stipulation?
Definitely. Me versus AJ Styles at WrestleMania would be amazing. And stipulation-wise, I would definitely submission match all the way.
Nice. Nice. Okay. I'm glad you gave me an event and not saying like Madison Square Garden or, you know, Pocono Raceway or something stupid like that, because buildings are cool, but the event means more, you know, because WrestleMania might never be back at Madison Square Garden again. So you're just going to wrestle a house show against AJ Styles there. It'll be cool, but it's not the match that you really want. You want it at Mania.
A building is just a building without people.
Yeah, I agree. So our paths may cross. They may cross. We're not sure yet. They may cross in July when I head to Oklahoma, because you brought up his name a couple times, and I know you and Malik, not the best of friends. Not the best of friends. Tell me about Malik. And how you and your partner want to take these NCWO tag titles off of them.
All right. First of all, it's not Malik. It's Moto Moto. It's not Malik no more. He's not Malik. He's Moto Moto.
Okay.
And, I mean, he's not a bad guy. He's a cool kid. He ain't got no hair on his face. He kind of looks like a little boy to me. I just don't see why he's a tag champ. You understand what I'm saying? I don't really see it. I don't really see what's so great about him. I just feel like he needs to prove a little something to me. But I mean, that's just me.
Okay. I love the guy. This is where we're gonna probably bump heads.
Yeah, but I will be at NCWO July 16th.
Yeah, there it is, folks. Essentially putting Chosen Influence on warning.
I ain't gonna say nothing else, but I'm gonna say that I will be there.
Right, we don't
in the building.
You're not scheduled or anything yet, but you're
Nope. Okay. I'll be there though. I'll be backstage. You know, I'll be watching.
There you go.
Enjoying myself.
Scouting. How are you going to be the Viper to take out the Chosen Influence?
Oh, I don't really think. I mean, they really look like they're about to implode themselves. From the videos I've seen, they can't get on the same page anyway.
You know what? I talked to Malik about that 2 weeks ago. And I'm like, guys, you are struggling right now. You have to get on the same page. And he kind of put that underneath the bridge saying, we're all right. We're all right. He didn't give me a good answer.
Well, they can keep saying they're all right and they're all right. But at the end of the day, me and my partner, Lay, have one of the hottest debuts coming this Sunday. And we haven't even debuted together yet. And everyone's talking about it.
Everybody is talking about it. And this, again, you're reading my notes. Perfect scenario to tell everybody where you're going to be starting with this Sunday.
Yeah, this Sunday I'm going to be in Waco at WAW, the backyard. It's going to be me and Lay beating up on Larry the Cable Guy and what's the dad of Everybody Hates Chris? Takers.
Okay. Good.
They don't get their actual name. You'll see them on Sunday. They'll be on the floor crying or whatever it is they do. As old people.
Old people. Hey, I'm old. I'm older than you, so watch it. I'm probably older than them, too. It's not your fault.
It's not my fault, sir. That is your parents' fault. They did that to you.
They did do it to me. They did that to them. They did do it to me. Where else are you going to be? Because you have a list. I know you have a list of, you're all over the place in the next 2 months or so.
Jeez, it's still growing, too. let me see if I can talk a little about a list, as everybody calls it. And really, my list is actually a couple of wrestlers. All right, my list. After WAW, I'm going back to a little Arkansas show in New Hope, called New Hope Extreme Wrestling. I just got a new manager. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then the greatest show that I've been a part of so far, like crowd-wise, and just an overabundance of love, is in my hometown at King of Sports Championship Wrestling. And I will be there June 4th. You can catch me June 5th at the OKC Pop Culture Con. A whole bunch of WWE Legends Hall of Famers. We'll all be in the building. I'll be in a Royal Rumble type kind of thing there.
That looks amazing, by the way. I have seen ads for that. If you're in the area and you don't go to that, you're a wrestling fan and you don't go to that, you're stupid. This looks amazing.
The best of the best.
Yeah.
It is the best of the best. You know, and then, you know, of course, July 16th, we back at NCWO. July 3rd, we back in Waco. Yeah, and I'm starting, you know, get more and more going back to the same places. But this year is really about debuting everywhere, you know, getting out everywhere. I want to work any and all places.
That was my next thing. What are your overall goals for the rest of 2022? Is it to, you know, get maybe to the East Coast, maybe head more west to California or something? I mean, let's be realistic. I mean, we're 2022, you'd like to expand 20, and then maybe in 5 years have a deal, essentially, with AEW or WWE or Impact or something like that?
I'm not really, again, like I said, I've never been a big money kind of guy. It's not really been my go to. So I just want to wrestle at least 10 states by the end of the year. At least 10.
Okay. That's a great goal.
And I don't care what kind of company it is. You call me, you pay me, you book me, it is a dumb deal. I'll be there.
That's the way it should be. I honestly agree with that. You know, getting your name out and doing like the yeoman's work, having to travel. So Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, you know, you have, did I miss any other states? How many have you been at, actually?
Just those three, man. Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas have been killing it all along, dude.
Okay. So you want to knock off seven more by the end of this year. It's doable.
I'll be in Kentucky Saturday.
Well, then, all right. You only need six, then.
Yeah. I will be in Kentucky Saturday or Waco Sunday, so that'll be a fun trip.
Kentucky's great, by the way. When my son graduates, that's actually where we want to move to. I love Kentucky. I love being involved with OVW down there. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to go. I'm going to Triple Crown Wrestling. It's supposed to be really fun.
Yeah. All right, this is your time now. Give us your socials so you can get more followers and then sell some merch if you have merch. And then, did I miss anything that you wanted to chitter chat about?
No, man, it's been real fun, man. You can always follow me at I Am Vivian, mostly anywhere. You might have to add a 99 to it or a zero, but it's I Am Vivian everywhere. Yeah, man, just be looking out, man. I'm coming to all kinds of cities soon. So, I mean, I'm still working. We're just going to keep pushing it, man.
Yeah. Guys, the technician, Devion Black. Sure. Devion, thank you for coming on the show today. It's been a blast. I say this all the time to everybody. You know, we should catch back up in about 6 months to tell me, you know, what you've done, what's going on. Or if you're big leaguing me, you'll never come back on the show again because you're too big for Can Crushers or anything like that. But you're always welcome back on the show, dude.
Man, I'm real humble. Like, if the place that originally I worked for, if they were to call me and it was some genuine stuff, I'm a loyal person. I possibly go back there maybe once, but like I'm never too big for anything like that. And I'm honored to be here, man. It was a real honor.
Yeah, this is his first podcast, by the way. And great job.
Yeah,
great job. Congratulations. Awesome. I hope this opens it up for more, because I'm not one to say, oh, don't go on podcast XYZ or anything like that. Do as many as you can. There's more people out there that want to hear your story that maybe don't know about Can Crushers. Go do this one. Go do that one. Spread the wealth. It's free advertisement. Yeah.
Any booking, you can book me at DevionWrestlerBooking90@gmail.com. And yeah, if you need me, man, just hit me up.
Yeah, hit him up, guys. All right, Devion, thanks again for stopping by. We'll be in touch real soon.
All right, man, appreciate it.
Guys, that's Devion Black, the technician, Devion Black. You hear me all the time saying that I don't do a lot of study on my guests and everything anymore, because I love hearing the stories from their mouth as they tell them for the first time. Not a dollar in his pocket, and just makes it. Look, well, I'm not saying anything. He's made it on Can Crushers. Yes, he's made it on Can Crushers, but he's made it in the professional wrestling business. He's, as of right now, he's knocked off three cities in the 10 that he wants to this year. This coming weekend, he's going to knock off another one. You know, there's a lot of year left to continue to grow, and he's humble. He's very humble about it, and I love the steps, and we were talking about the steps of what to do to make it big. It'd be great if we all could make one giant step. It really could, just from, hey, I'm here, to I'm a world champion, and I'm going to run this business for the rest of my life. It's not like that. It really isn't, and he knows that, and he's so humble about it, and he just wants to live for him, his family, and continue to get himself better. That's awesome. I love these stories. I really do. Again, Devion, thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for sharing your story. Always welcome. Guys, if you have a story like this about how you got into professional wrestling, you want to come on, and essentially it's promotion as well, free promotion for you. Come on the show. Reach out to me on any of the socials, Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. It's easy to find. Can Crushers Wrestling Podcast. It's at CanCrusher69, all of them. Shoot me an email, CanCrusher69@gmail.com. We'll schedule something for you. Most of June's taken up now, but we'll get you on the docket. There's many months left here in the year. We'll get you on the docket. We'll be able to promote whatever shows you're coming up, whatever merch you're selling, anything like that. Man, I love these stories again. And it warms my heart to hear that you're living your dream and you're pushing yourself to be better. And Devion, I'm going to use yours. Get out of living in a car with no money, walking into a wrestling show, not a training facility, a show, and say, hey, I'm here to work. And you essentially be the referee for the night. That's unbelievable. These are the stories about wrestling that I love. Awesome. All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up this week. We'll be back again next week. Don't forget, weekly shows are on Sunday where we do a whole recap of wrestling and talk about what's going on with my co-host, Michael Jenks. And then, yeah, we just get down and dirty sometimes. Remember, just because you're trash doesn't mean you can't do great things. It's called a garbage can, not a garbage cannot.